Episode 16 of the Torque Factor Podcast is here, and I'm your host, Scott Brown. This is a place where we discuss all things moving the automotive service industry forward, focusing on expanding knowledge and awareness around tools, equipment, education, and industry trends. This episode's featured guest is Mr. Ben Cruz, who's the director at the Macomb Community College Center for Advanced Automotive Technology in Warren, Michigan. Ben and I touch on his lengthy career as an engineer with General Motors, which started out through an internship at the Mesa Proving Grounds in Arizona. But primarily, we talk about an exciting new vehicle engineering technician degree program he designed and is now being offered at Macomb. This new program will provide the graduate with additional skills, which includes coding, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and more. These skills are in very high demand by automotive manufacturers due to the wave of new technologies being deployed on today's and tomorrow's vehicles. I think you'll find this discussion very interesting, so stay tuned. This episode is sponsored in part by Milwaukee Tool and VehicleServicePros.com. Milwaukee Tool continues to increase the service professional's efficiency through powerful and innovative tools by solving fundamental frustrations technicians face with inefficient air tools and outdated hand tools. Through their leadership in cordless technology, groundbreaking advancements to even the simplest of tools, and storage solutions that provide the best versatility, mobility, and durability, Milwaukee aims to increase the overall productivity in and out of the shop. VehicleServicePros.com is a trusted online resource for vehicle service and repair information, fleet maintenance management, and the latest products for servicing America's fleet of vehicles. It's the official website of Professional Tool and Equipment News, Fleet Maintenance, and Professional Distributor Magazines. VehicleServicePros.com is on the pulse of the industry, sharing new technology, the latest product information, and market trends to keep our readers in the know-how. All right, that brings us to our recall segment. We get all of our recalls from the NHTSA website. That's NHTSA.gov. Great resource. All you got to do is dump a VIN number in, and you're going to get real-time information about the recall. So the first recall we've got is 21 Victor-215. This is for America Honda Corporation. So Hondas and Acuras, they're recalling 628,124 vehicles due to fuel pump failures. And this actually stems back to the Denso fuel pump recall that we highlighted in episode 12. So I encourage you to go back there. Lots of challenges out there, folks. They had a manufacturing defect with the plastic impeller. That impeller, during its curing process, it did not cure properly. And when it gets in contact with fuel, unfortunately, that impeller will actually swell and end up breaking or locking the pump up. So make sure you run your customers' VIN numbers that come through your shop through the NHTSA website to make sure that you're up to date. Our next item on the agenda is a case study, and this one comes from Diagnostic Network. This is on a 2017 Ford F-150 and was posted by Robert Pleasanton out of Delaware, who is a mobile diagnostician. He is a very sharp individual, and I've known him for many years. And he posted about this vehicle he got called up on. And the complaint was that the remote start would not work with the key fob. Additionally, the battery continued to go dead. So it had a pretty massive parasitic load. So when he arrived to start checking the vehicle out, he made some observations with the remote start. It clearly wasn't working. The remote did work with the vehicle. He proceeded to scan every module on the vehicle and checked for DTCs and found none. So he began a systematic check of the various systems on the vehicle, found out who was in charge of what. You can walk through the diagnostics with him. He did a very good job at documenting all of his steps. He included a couple of wiring diagrams and some data that that he was able to pull off the vehicle. But what he ended up finding, he found an open circuit or a couple of open circuits related to the shifter. And that was the stem of the problem. That was the main issue with the parasitic load and the remote start not operating properly. So pretty cool. I'll have a link to this case study in the show notes. So if you're a diagnostician, I highly encourage you to go check that out. All right, the next item here is a tech tip that's multifaceted. I'm pulling up a posting that came from Diagnostic Network, and I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. But it's talking about the GM RPO code. So those are the regular production options. If you're working on GM cars, you can come to appreciate the RPO codes because it lists out all the options, especially when you go to order parts. It can be very beneficial. But I'll also point out the fact that we've got there's a posting on the GM TechLink site talking about when these new QR codes came into to the reality, and that was in 2018 on the certification labels on the door jams. When you scan that barcode, you can use your cell phone to just scan it, and it'll pull up not only the VIN, but the all the RPO codes. What we found here in the shop, we had recently a 21 Corvette that came in, and when we were doing the wheel alignment on the vehicle, we used the built-in barcode scanner that's on the Hunter machine. And when we scanned the VIN, it pulled the VIN in, but it pulled in a ton of other content. So we recorded a short little video to demonstrate this. So I'm just going to play this little video. Okay, we've got a brand new Corvette here, 21 Corvette, and we're going to set it up for an alignment. But we just discovered something pretty cool. And using the barcode reader on this vehicle, when we scan it, we noticed that it populated the VIN with not only the VIN field, but all of the RPO codes. So so what we, Johnny here decided to do is he said, hey, let's go into Shopware and we'll just go into a text field here. So we have the focus there. He's gonna take it over to the car and scan the VIN and watch what happens here. Look at this, bringing all the RPO codes into the ticket. So pretty cool. Yeah, so that's actually pretty cool because the barcode scanner is basically like a keyboard input. So if you've got this tied into your shop management system, you might want to check this out because on the GM cars you could scan that for the customer vehicle record, and then you would have all the RPO codes in place for that vehicle. Pretty cool stuff. All right, that brings us to our featured guest, Mr. Ben Cruz, who is the director at the Center for Advanced Automotive Technology out of the Macomb Community College in Warren, Michigan. That is right outside of the GM Tech Center. He and I had a really good discussion about a new degree program that they have in place to train automotive technicians, but with a twist. These technicians are getting training to help prepare them to be engineering type technicians. So they're getting coding and artificial intelligence and cybersecurity knowledge and so on. So let's have a listen.
Well, today, folks, we are pleased to have Ben Cruz, who is the director at the Center for Advanced Automotive Technology out of Macomb Community College in Warren, Michigan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, very good. Ben, as I was reviewing the staff bio page, I found it kind of interesting that you had recently retired from General Motors. Can you give me just a little bit of background on what you were doing over there?
Sure. Actually, it was a very long career at General Motors. And, quite frankly, it's something that I never thought I would be, what I am or what I became to be. And I say that because, I went to school in a very small high school in Casa Grande, Arizona. And then I went to Central Arizona College and Arizona State University. And then finally, University of Phoenix for a master's. But even as a child, I spent my my childhood, doing a lot of doodling, a lot of drawing about, cars and stuff, with, engines popping out of the hood and, Hot Wheels and all kinds of stuff like that. Never knowing that I would be an auto engineer. In fact, I never knew that even the GM actually had a facility at in Mesa, Arizona. So that's where I started. I started as a co-op student. and stayed with GM the rest of my life. And I had a really, really pleasant, intriguing career with General Motors, starting at the Desert Proving Grounds in Mesa, you know, where I was elevated all the way up to a manager of a development group. And then from there, they elected to send me to various parts of the country, you know, to basically do, you know, some setups for our laboratories. I even built the proving grounds in Mexico, and I built a laboratory in Toluca, Mexico. I helped with the climatic wind tunnels in Oshawa, helped with the ones in Warren, Michigan. We also built one in Korea and one in China. And I was part of all that activity. You know, never would have, you know, thought about that, you know, that I would be doing something like that when I was a kid or even, you know, in high school, you know, so it's an interesting career. My final assignment was at the climatic wind tunnels at Warren. And I was one of the people that actually did a lot of the development, a lot of the data correlation to bring the facility up to be able to do simulation development, simulation testing, simulation validation, so we could cut the development cycle, you know, from 4 to 6 years, you know, down to 24 months. And we do that by the having the ability to run 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you know, just any climatic condition, any environmental condition in a simulated environment. So that's where I spent a lot of my time in. And obviously, all of my activity was having to do with product development, validation, and test, with the exception of those times when I had to support, you know, some new facilities that went up that were replicating some of the stuff that we're doing here at the Engineering Center.
Wow, that's quite a story. And it's very interesting because I hope, you know, any of the young minds out there that are thinking about a career in this space, listen to what Ben just said. He worked as an intern at the Mesa, like the Mesa Proving Grounds.
Correct.
And he learned all about, you know, automotive technology, and look at what it's done. That's absolutely amazing. So can you give me just a little bit of a background on what the CAAT is, and then what the relationship is with Macomb, who is located. Macomb is right there in Warren, and it's very close in proximity to the GM Tech Center, which I fortunately, I was at the college a few years ago, got to visit with the NACAT conference and taught some classes there. And we got a tour into the advanced battery lab over there. So give me a little bit of background there, and then we'll move on.
Okay. I'll start with Macomb. You know, Macomb is, you know, the typical community college, you know, like the ones that were built all over the nation in the 1960s. And, you know, they did put in an automotive technology program. And it's always been a relatively strong program, and it's obviously for having, you know, the OEMs surrounding this whole area. You know, there's a lot of manufacturing plants, there's the engineering centers for a lot of, you know, for Ford, for Chrysler, for GM, you know, and there's a lot of tier one suppliers like BorgWarner, Continental, and all those, you know, surrounding this area here. So it's in a prime location, you know, to be deeply involved with the automotive industry. So that's Macomb. And then what Macomb wanted to do was put together a center where that center could dedicate itself to talking to industry, getting their advice on what kind of programs, what kind of curriculums are going to be needed in the future. And at that time, they were talking future, you know, next few years. And of course, that has come along a long way since then. The center was actually the CAT, the Center for our Advanced Automotive Technology, was actually sanctioned, funded in 2010 by the National Science Foundation. And at that point, you know, that's when that office, you know, that organization basically dedicated itself, you know, to bringing in whatever the industry needs and ideas were for building curriculum, building programs, so we can advance the skills of the technicians. And we're talking technicians primarily, but obviously we're not, you know, locked into just technicians, because we do have articulation programs with Wayne State University, with Oakland Community College, with Ferris State University, you know, so that we can provide a path for students that may want to go further, you know, than just the technician. Nothing wrong with a technician, especially in this area. In this area, you know, there's always been a high demand for technicians, and it's never been more critical than now because of all the technological changes that are happening to the automobile and the industry. So that's basically how the CAT came into being. And I working at General Motors a few years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, a few years ago, four years ago, I had a hard time finding the right skill set in the technicians. And by that I mean the colleges were putting out a lot of technicians, a lot of mechanics, a lot of service technicians, which is okay because it's actually quite needed by all the dealerships, all the mom and pop shops, you know, out there. They all need that that mechanical skill. However, because it's changing somewhat, there was an additional skill that was needed, and that was more electronics, more software, more the ability to set up an experiment, a test, and that's the kind of stuff that people weren't getting. So I remember about 4 years ago, I went to Macomb Community College and I said, I need this kind of a technician. And I was talking at the time to Bob Fellmeyer, who was my predecessor, and he said, well, we don't quite have that, but, we'd like to get something, a program going like that, that would give you the skills necessary to fill all the laboratory needs out here. And so that's how I started to get involved with CAT. And little did I know that, one day I was going to be retiring. And when I retired, well, there was an opportunity. Bob wanted to retire from his job. So he said, well, why don't you come over here? You would make a good director here. And so I applied and, pretty soon I was the director there. And it worked out pretty well because I went to work immediately to fix that little issue that I saw. And it wasn't me that was just seeing that issue. There was a lot of changes with the digital electronics. There was a lot of changes, that had happened to the auto industry, to Ford, to Chrysler, to all of the assembly plants, to all of the manufacturers, all of the tier one suppliers. All of them, were suffering the same fate. They didn't have quite the skill that they needed, and it took a long time to, to shadow someone and train them in everything that they needed. Not only that, anytime that you're shadowing someone and training someone, it takes away from productivity. So that was the concern. So they wanted someone who could have put together a program whereby they could actually train an entry-level technician that came in with already the basics, of everything they needed. And then they would take it from there, to advance the technician. So that's how I got involved. And that's, basically what I've been doing. We've been putting together some programs, a couple of programs, and then we also did a number of courses, a number of changes to curriculums, just to make sure that we're up to date on the skills that needed with the technicians that are going to be coming out, coming out like now.
Okay.
And from now on.
Excellent. So that brings me to my next the next question here, and one of the programs that I wanted to talk about is the VET, or the Vehicle Engineering Technician Program. And now that you've given me that story, it sounds like that's kind of manifested out of your ideas that you came to Macomb with, and of course those were born out of other pressures from the changing landscape in the marketplace. So tell me about this new VET program and what it's focused on.
Okay, well, the Vehicle Engineering Technician is a brand new program, and as soon as I got here, that was my priority number one, working on that program and getting it accepted by the curriculum committee, getting it in the catalog, and starting to train technicians. And we actually, it's a brand new program, and our first semester was actually last semester, where we got our first few students that came into the program. Now we've got quite a few more coming in, and more that are signing up for the winter and then the following fall, for the fall and then the following winter. And what we did is basically took, some of the auto service auto technician programs and took out a lot of the heavy mechanic type work. And the reason I did that is because the vehicle is changing dramatically. Now, obviously, you will always have mechanical systems and mechanical components. However, almost everything in the vehicle now is power electronics, basically controlled and driven by the computer and the software. And it's getting to be like that more and more and more. Almost every single system in the vehicle now, today, 2021 vehicles, are like that. So the landscape has changed dramatically. And I saw that coming. And the reason I saw that coming is because I worked in the area of product development. We don't develop a vehicle right now. It's right now we've got like a 2-year development time frame. in the past, prior to 4 years, prior to 5-6 years, you know, the development cycle was 4 to 6 years. But in any case, you know, you're working on advanced vehicles. So I knew that this was the role, you know, the change was coming, you know, things were rolling in, and the landscape in the educational world was not changing or not keeping up the pace that was needed for what was coming. So I could see that. So based on that, I got to work on putting this program together. And so I took out a lot of the heavy mechanical activity out of the program, because the technicians that I was basically getting together or putting together a program for are not the technicians that are going to be rebuilding an engine. You know, they're not going to be rebuilding a short block. They're not going to be rebuilding a transmission. They're not going to be rebuilding an axle. They're going to be doing something different. And that something different is basically doing a lot of diagnosis, taking a look at their systems, taking a look at the autonomous vehicle systems, at the electrification systems. And now you've got a car that's completely different. It requires computers. It requires software. It requires a lot of diagnostics. So that's what I wanted to put into the program. And so I took out, you know, I took out the engine rebuild. I took out the transmission rebuild. I took out the axle rebuild. Not to say that you don't need those. You certainly need them right now. And you do have to have dedicated people to do that right now. But all of that is changing. The transmissions are becoming electronic. The drive axles are becoming electronic. The entire propulsion system is becoming electronic, and it's different than what it was or what it is now.
Yeah, I see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so for that reason, I started putting in classes that would give us that, a lot more electronics, digital electronics, microcontrollers, software development, a lot of testing, a lot of diagnostics, and LabVIEW, you know, things that you didn't normally use. You know, learn how to use LabVIEW, learn how to use oscilloscopes, learn how to use all of those things that are laboratory type equipment to be able to diagnose, you know, any of the vehicles that you've got. And if you go to any of the dealerships here locally, you can begin to see the trend that those people that have that background, that diagnostics background, are the people that are earning a whole lot more money than your regular service technicians. Here in the Detroit area, you know, your regular service technicians are starting at $32,000 to $43,000 a year as they start as a service technician. But if you've got the background of diagnostics, of electronics, in addition to automotive system knowledge, you know, you'll start at about 50, 60, 70,000, you know, so it's a huge difference in pay, you know, for the technician, you know, when you have a background like this. And this is the background that you can take, you know, from a basic background. And then as you go and work over the years, you know, with either a dealership and or a laboratory and or an OEM in product development and or one of those areas, you know, you can certainly grow and the salary will grow with you, you know. So that's the unique king thing about this.
Yeah, that is awesome, and yeah, that is something that I've seen happening too as well, because the complexity of that automobile has grown exponentially over the last decade or so. And
correct.
And you've got symptoms on a car that could be caused, you know, by a multitude of things on the vehicle, and you definitely need to have you know, advanced level technician that can accurately identify what's going on with the car, identify the root cause, right? Because you don't want to have a repeating event and so on.
Exactly.
So yeah, that this all totally makes sense, and that is awesome. And so a couple of the bullets there that I saw, you were talking about the electronics, power electronics, microcontroller programming. So these students are learning how to write code to execute, say, mechatronics on a vehicle or what have you. But one of the things I didn't see or hear you mention is the focus on cybersecurity. And given the fact that, you know, we have a lot more automation being rolled into the vehicle, and if you look out 10 years from now or maybe 15 years from now, we're going to have a lot more of that. And so cybersecurity is, I mean, today it's very important, but it's going to be even more important in the future. So you're also training these technicians with the skill set around cybersecurity. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, where are they getting, where are you getting your knowledge from about cybersecurity, and what attracts people to that?
Okay, and absolutely, we are. We actually developed a couple of courses that have their whole intent is to teach the students about cybersecurity. First you've got to know a little bit about the systems. You've got to know a little bit about the software that's used. You've got to know a little bit about how you embed the code into the microcontrollers and stuff like that. So we teach all of that. We've developed courses for that, and then you've got to learn how to protect it. From hackers. How to produce a code that is error free, because in an automotive environment, when you're driving on the street and stuff like that, you don't want any errors that is going to cause, you to shut down or you to break all of a sudden or you to, there's all sorts of things that can happen that are negative, and you don't want that to happen. So it's very important that the code is to a standard. So we do follow a standard, and SAE does have a standard, for developing, the C embedded software, and that's basically what we follow. So we do have a program for that. In addition to that, we yearly run with General Motors and other manufacturers a cybersecurity challenge, whereby we go to an expo center and OEMs bring their vehicles, and they allow students, any kind of student to come in and try to hack into the vehicle. And the idea is basically to allow the students to learn that this is extremely important, that you cannot have, especially an automated autonomous vehicle, but you cannot have, other people hacking into your vehicle and causing damage. And that can happen if you don't pay attention to the cybersecurity aspects of, the design, development, and test of these vehicles. So we're very much in tune with that.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing the attack vectors that actually exist on a vehicle. And so, yes. Yeah, these technicians or these students are learning that, hey, if I'm going to design a system and it's going to be exposed to this other system, now they have to really look at the bigger picture and say, wow, wait a minute, we're exposed to this device here, and this device has an attack surface that could be vulnerable. So now how do we mitigate that, right? So
correct.
Yeah, that is awesome. And so speaking to the young minds out there, if they want to get more involved with this, where do they go? Where do they go to find out more about this and how to get this this education?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, if you take a look at, nationwide, all of the different colleges out there, there aren't many that have programs like this. In fact, there are none, really. There are some that are putting some things together and are working to figure out how to set a program. And we have actually partnered with a number of colleges, one in Oregon, one in California, one in several here in the Midwest. And we're basically disseminating a lot of this information so they can take a look at their systems and figure out how to set up their own course. But for the moment, there aren't many running courses like this or running programs like this. And here at Macomb, we're basically treading new ground when we put the program together, and it's catching on really well. I've got a lot of, in fact, all of my students right now are currently already aligned with one of the manufacturers, one of the tier one suppliers, or someone already. And that's because there's a huge demand for those. Here in Michigan, there's a critical shortage of high-skilled technicians like this. And so the only place you can go right now is here, though there are some colleges that are beginning to take a look at their programs and trying to design, their program to fit the current skill, upgrade. So they're looking at that. But if you wanted to take a look at Macomb, obviously I can provide you with the links to our e-catalog and the links to each one of the different academic areas that are significant in the changes that we have seen over the years and are producing now higher skilled technicians. But Macomb, obviously would take anyone, but obviously for someone coming from California, Arizona, or somebody else, you never know. I mean, I came from Arizona, Casa Grande, Arizona, little town, So you never know, where people might want to come from. The nice thing about here is that we have such a critical supply of students in these programs that we can draw people from other areas. And not only that, one of the things that we do is we provide either internships or apprenticeships or co-ops, with various companies, where they do summer interns and or you know, they do 4 days of study and 1 day of work at one of the manufacturing plants or one of the tech centers or, you know, or any of those areas there, you know, that that we've got available to put students in. And they can basically work in that fashion, you know, until they get their associate's degree, and then immediately those people that have been interning with whatever company, you know, they are hired as regular employees at a fairly nice salary. Secondly, what they can do for you at that point in time, if you so desire to, you know, take a pathway to a bachelor's of science in technology or engineering or whatever you want, is, you know, all of these companies will pay for, you know, to further your education. So one of the things that we push here is that we can provide an education where it basically gives the student an education where it costs them very little money and they come out basically debt-free and they come out with a job.
That is awesome. Man, how exciting is that? If I was 40 years younger, I would probably be just all over this. So, you know, if you're looking to really fast track your way into even with an OEM or like you said, a tier one or tier two provider or any of those smaller companies out there that are deeply integrated, this is a great pathway. So yes, I'll definitely take you up on the offer to get all those links together because we'll put those in the show notes. So anybody listening will have quick access. And then also they can pay attention to even the CAT website because I can see some of the affiliations that you have with the Central Oregon Community College.
Right.
And I am actually working with them on their electrified program, developing the standard documents that are all posted up there. So, you know, in the future, if you're looking to this, go to that CAT site and check and see what's going on because the automotive industry, our changing landscape in the automotive industry is very exciting. And so there are so many opportunities out there for a career. I mean, the automotive industry touches almost everything out there. And it is a critical element in our society. So, well, Ben, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate the insight. Boy, really a lot of great information there. And it looks like you guys are doing some outstanding work up there at Macomb. So thank you again for your time. Much appreciated.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott.
All right, that brings us to our industry events roundup. Now we're starting to see some shows come back online, which is awesome. The Independent Garage Owners of North Carolina will be hosting their annual Automotive Service Technology Expo on September 24th and 25th in Cary, North Carolina. I will be there at that show teaching a class, and I'll also be hosting a booth. So if you're there, please stop on by. You can find more information at their website, asteshow.com. And the Mobile Air Climate Systems MAX Association will be hosting their show on September 30th through October 2nd in Orlando. Check maxmobileairclimate.org for more information. ASA, the Automotive Service Association, is hosting the CARS Executive Outlook on November 1st in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Check asashop.org for more information. And the Apex SEMA Show returns to Las Vegas November 2nd through the 5th. Check apexshow.com or semashow.com for more information.
And we'd love to get your feedback. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions on topics or guests, please drop us a note in our mailbag, podcast@vehicleservicepros.com. Now that brings us to the end of the show, and we hope we were able to bring you some quality content. And we thank you for joining us.